Psalm 27 and verses 7 through 14. The first part of the message is dark, and I'm doing it to keep your attention, and then the last part of the message is going to get lighter. So hang on, and I just need you to listen. The election is over, and many people are relieved that it's over, because it seems like it has been so long. I think the rioting is criminal, and Van Jones's statement, white lash statement on CNN and Obama, I think those men are wrong for feeding the racism. I think the riots are wrong. I think you have a right to peaceably demonstrate, but when people are being shot and hurt, and had one video of a man being beat up at his car because he voted for Trump and all this, and I think that's out of place. It's criminal, and justice needs to be done. I'm glad that Hillary's not president. I'm glad. If you can disagree with me on that, you're free to. But I am glad that Hillary is not president. I've never seen a more vile criminal run for the office of commander in chief. She should have been tried for treason. The Clinton Foundation is a money laundering masterpiece of crime. I knew the media was liberal, okay, before this election. I knew they were biased, and I knew the media was wicked, but I now see our media as broke. And I know what they say cannot be trusted. They only tell you what they want you to know. I now believe if you want to know what's going on, you need to go to an independent news source instead of ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, or Fox News. I don't trust what they say anymore. The corruption of the polls at all levels, the voting polls, amazed me. No identification is now required because it insults those that can't afford an ID. It's amazing. They can give out food stamps, but they can't give out IDs. So in the name of not offending people, we now dumb the system down so nobody's checked on or voted. And I think that's criminal. And I hope they fix it. Illegal immigrants are allowed to vote. I think it's wrong. I think voting for a president is something only a citizen should do, and you're only a citizen if you're here legally. But President Obama said Tuesday, if you're an illegal immigrant, you can vote, and if you vote, we'll give you citizenship. That's criminal. That was wrong what he said. Busing homeless people to polling stations so they can vote over and over again is garbage. I hope they do something, I already said that, to tighten up the voting process, because now our voting process invites fraud on every level. The violence, that's the election, that's the polls. This is another statement. I'm going somewhere with this. The violence in our country is disturbing. I know that if more citizens were armed and trained, it would bring down the violence. I do not believe that disarming the public would ever lower crime, because you cannot take the weapons away from the criminals. If you could disarm the criminals, I could see how that would make sense. It does not make sense. The criminals will always get guns. And don't forget, police officers carry guns so they can protect themselves. You're secondary, and I love our police. I'm for that. You know what the crime rate in Sweden is? It's next to zero. Do you know why? Every one of them is required to have an assault rifle in their house and 1,000 rounds of ammunition. It's law. That's in Sweden. That's awesome. I wish they'd do the same here. And I like what President Trump said. He wants to do away with the gun-free zones. How in the world do you make a military establishment a gun-free zone? Well, we don't want anybody. Those men, we were trained to handle weapons. We were, if anybody, right. Why a military base would be a gun-free zone, let alone the schools. The schools, and I think they ought to take. Here's nationology. Are you ready? I think they ought to take all the money that they're spending for security and metal detectors, arm the teachers, and spend the summer teaching them how to handle weapons, and let every teacher carry a gun. You'd have a lot safer schools. I wish they need to ask me what's wrong with this country. Okay, I'll fix it. Obama healthcare and Chief Justice John Roberts has sold our country down the river to financial destruction and ruin. I am for Obamacare being repealed. They said, but if they do that, 22 million people will be without health insurance. Has anybody done the math on that? 306 million people in our country, and 22 million don't get health insurance from poverty reasons or whatever. If we do, that's 6%. Let me get this straight. 6% of the country is supposed to get health insurance while the rest goes bankrupt. That does not make sense. It's a broke system. It was a system that was designed to break our finances. Just a few more points here. Our society and many Christians worship education. A woman with no clothes on in a magazine is pornography. A woman with no clothes on a website is pornography. Yet a woman with no clothes on in a picture frame on canvas is art and culture. That is wacky. If it's wrong in one place, it ought to be wrong in another. But my Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:7, those people are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They worship education. It's a worship of the mind. Segment number next. Sodomites have same-sex marriage rights in every state. When you read Romans chapter 1, read it. Sodomites, the LGBT, all of it. It's demonic, it's reprobate, and I believe it is rejected by God. It always has been, it always will be. That will never change. I am glad Trump won the election, but my hope is not in the White House. It never has been. My hope is in the church house. I said Wednesday night, this president is not going to stop the sinking of the American ship, but I do believe he'll slow it down. America is sinking. America is being destroyed. Who you have as president determines how fast the ship sinks. And I said this election will determine how the lifeboats are arranged on the side of the boat. But our nation is being judged by God, and President Trump is not going to change that. My hope, when you look at the natural disasters or the judgment of God on our nation, storms, hurricanes, power outages, the raging fires, the one that's in Georgia right now, I said last Sunday morning, I think it's good to be informed. I don't think you need to put your head in the sand like an ostrich, but if you want to immerse yourself in the world and its news and its views, then everybody, you will be disturbed, distracted, and distraught, discouraged, and defeated. Ha, one more D word than last week. Okay. There has to be a release to every Christian, or you can get depressed because of, I don't care if you want to look at the economy, politics, social system in America, there has to be a release. Would you take your Bible? We're in Psalm 27. Look at verse 13. Here, God uses King David. He says, Psalm 27, verse 13, we sang the song, but I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. All those things that I just mentioned to you, maybe I shouldn't be thinking about them, but they're on my mind when I think about America. And they're heavy, they're dark issues, there's nothing positive, there's nothing I can do anything about. Yet, Psalm 27:13, I can find myself running to and saying, I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now listen to the word faint. God didn't use the word quit there. I had quit unless I'd believed to see. God didn't put that word there. He used the word faint. The word faint means when the body shuts down to avoid exertion. Right? When we say the woman fainted. I thought only women fainted till I was in the Marine Corps. And I found out men faint also. You say, how do you know? Because I fainted. From a kid, I always, when it's time to take the blood, they put the tourniquet on, and I loved watching my blood being taken. Man, I mean, they'd do that, and ooh, I just thought that was neato. Watch the tube turn red. I just thought it was neat. I'll never forget. I get to my last physical in the Marine Corps. I'd watched my blood. We're standing there in front of the Marine. You know, all of us, you know, we're all getting physicals. And, okay, men, time for blood. And, man, gave him the arm. And right there is where they stick me. Man, it was a female doctor, too, which was even worse humiliating. And she put the thing on. I'm standing. She said, you want a seat? No, it's fine. Just poke it right there. You know? And she goes to do that, and I'm watching, and all of a sudden, I don't remember anything more. I was like, what in the world? I passed out when they were taking my blood. I fainted. And until that, I used to say, only women faint. I don't say that anymore. And I don't know why I fainted. To this day. And that was so embarrassing, too. Waking up with three other Marines walking around going, I was like, what'd you faint for? I don't know. I've watched my blood being taken for years. Now all of a sudden, So to this day, when I take my blood for the physical, they say, yeah, we're going to take your blood. I'm not going to watch it. The word faint means when your body shuts down to avoid exertion. It means to sink. The word faint means to sink also into dejection. It means to lose courage or spirit. God doesn't use the word quit here. God uses the word faint. Here, David is talking about giving up in his spirit. It appears that David pens this after leaving Saul. He's killed Goliath. He started to play the harp in the palace for King Saul. And now Saul is jealous. And David goes out and David goes to eat with his... Jonathan goes to eat with King Saul. And he says, I'll find out if my dad's really going to kill you or not. He goes into the meeting and then his father almost kills Jonathan because he's so angry. And Jonathan comes out and tells David, my dad's going to kill you. You need to run and get out of town now. That's the background of this psalm. And David, who had been used of God to kill Goliath and was, you know, Saul hath slain his thousands and David has slain his tens of thousands. I mean, David's watching things. I think he's still a young man here. And he's running now for his life from a deranged, demonically oppressed king. When you look at Psalm 27, look at verse number 1. Look at verse number 1. I love Psalm 27. It's been, when I sign my name in a Bible, when I sign a Bible, I've always put Psalm 27. But look at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host, an army, should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And the Psalms are a song where he is praying and he is singing at the same time. And here is a song or a prayer of confidence in the Lord. His confidence is because of, if we just skip down to verse 7, watch this, you see his concern, is his confidence, and now you're going to see his concern. Look at verse number 7, ready? Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. That's his plea. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. So first you see, the first part of the psalm goes, the Lord is my rock. And the Lord is the strength of my life. And then you hit verse 7. Please don't leave. And he goes from confidence in the Lord to concern. And you see his humanity. You see the humanity there. It's just like all of us. Faith is not the absence of doubt. Faith is trusting the Lord in the presence of doubt. And you never fully get rid of doubt. Jesus asked the father of the demon-possessed man, the demon-possessed boy. Jesus said unto him in Mark 9, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Please help thou mine unbelief. God, I believe, but Lord, I'm weak. And Lord, I need your help. And that's the Father's words to this demon-possessed boy. You see, we have our trust in the Lord, but at the same time, we have our human limitations and our weaknesses. We say, the Lord will help me. And then we pray, oh God, please help me. We'll say, the Lord is the strength of my life. Lord, please give me strength. When we pray, it's not because we're bipolar or spiritually retarded, but we are frail. We're all frail. You see, when David prays and sings about his confidence and his concern, he then concludes the end of the psalm on his conviction. And you watch him go from confidence in the Lord to his concern, and then he ends it being convicted. Look at verse 11. Ready? Psalm 27, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Here's what he says. My conviction is God is good, and I'm going to see His goodness in spite of what is going on around me. You say, Pastor, I don't see the faith in this. Watch this. Watch this. Do you see the word right there? I had fainted unless I had believed to see. Believing to see is faith. Seeing to believe is walking in the flesh. But when I believe, I'm going to one day see, even though I don't see it yet. That's faith. And he said, I had fainted, except by faith I believed in the goodness of God. And that's how he ends the psalm. I have the conviction God is good, and all the time God is good. Now, I love that statement. I think if you haven't been in church long enough to hear that, you need to understand it. God's good all the time, and all the time God's good. That's easy preaching, hard living. When the times are hard. But God is always good. I just don't always see His goodness. But God's always good. God's always good. You see, there's only one reason a Christian faints or spiritually shuts down. They got their eyes on everything but the Lord. God says in Proverbs 24, verse 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, when it gets hard, thy strength is small. That's convicting. If you quit when the going gets tough, then you didn't have a whole lot to start with. Don't quit. Well, I love that statement. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Listen to these verses. Listen to this real quick, and I didn't want you to turn to it. But Isaiah says this, He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Luke 18:1 says, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 2 Corinthians 4:1 says, Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as a child of God, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We don't want to lose courage. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we don't quit, we don't get discouraged and stop. And finally, Hebrews 12:3 says, for consider Him, Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Hebrews 12:3, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. If you think the going's tough, when it gets tough, consider Jesus and all that He went through, because no one suffered like He did for us. You see, in the midst of our concerns, we have to learn to live by our convictions. Our conviction must be to, like David, see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The word faint, means when the body shuts down to avoid exertion, it means to lose courage or spirit. David has led several military escapades. He's been successful, and now he's on the run for his life from a deranged king. When you get discouraged, sometimes you need to understand, look, it says an evil spirit was sent to Saul, and he was depressed. Sometimes when you get discouraged, you need to consider, it could be an attack from Satan, trying to discourage you, Satan wants all of us to quit. Well, it doesn't do any good to go to church. The majority don't. You're not going to make a difference, and the devil tries to discourage you, and he tries to get you to do what? Faint. and tries to get you to faint. Don't do that. You see, you need to consider sometimes maybe you're under an attack from the devil when you're wanting to quit, when you have to make yourself go to church, when you have to make yourself go soul winning, when you have to make yourself serve in the spirit of the discouragement. Satan is trying to get you to stop. Psalm 27:13 this morning, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You see, Noah built the ark by faith. He had never seen rain. He believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Abraham didn't know where God was leading him. Abraham just followed the Lord and trusted the Lord and believed to see. Rahab, the harlot in Jericho, believed to see deliverance before deliverance ever came, and she hung the scarlet cord in the window. She believed to see deliverance before deliverance ever came. And when David is running for his life and it didn't look good and things weren't favorable, he walked by faith and he believed to see the goodness of the Lord. He believed to see the goodness, which is God's kindness, God's provision, God's mercy, God's favor. I know God is still working in people's lives to this day. You say, amidst all that I mentioned to you at the start of the sermon, I'm not sure you can look at the rest of the world real positively in the times that we live in. However, I love this. God is still working in people's lives. God is still in the soul-saving business. God is still looking for people who will submit to His Word and surrender to His will. And God is still changing lives to this day. Regardless, I'm so glad God's economy is not hooked to our nation's economy. I'm so glad. Yes, we're to look forward to heaven, and this world is not my home, but we're supposed to believe to see God's goodness in the midst of present circumstances. We're seeing many things right now that are inverting life as we know it, and I said in Sunday school that's turning life as we know it seems to be turned on its head. And I was telling somebody this week, I think Zach and I were talking, the way I was raised, I'm raising my kids totally different than I was raised. A bike helmet when you ride a bike? We wouldn't have thought of that. Ding, 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 ding. You'd have gotten rocks thrown at you. We used to put the bricks on the things, remember, with the boards, and then you'd see how high you could jump with a bike. Don't do that. You'll get hurt. Do you know how many stuff I got? I got my legs caught in the chains and the you'd come and drag in the water. Mom, I can't. Oh, you know, and then my mom comes out there and same thing, hose you off. Shut up, you know. And she gets you in there, dump hydrogen peroxide all over you. You know, oh, look at the bubble, you know. And then remember methylate? Remember? That'll help you. That stuff builds character. And Grandpa always said, here it comes. You know, he'd say, here, bite my belt. You know, now we have stuff that, oh, no, this won't hurt at all. And in my head, I'm going, honestly, okay, that's one instance because that's the only thing I can use this morning. The rest of the stuff I can't even mention in church, okay? Not because it's filthy, but because it's just, it's so out of date. And it's definitely not politically correct. But I'm raising my kids in a totally different way than I was raised. It's a different world. It's a different world. I wanted to tell you this morning, it's not time for us to faint. It's not time for us to faint. You say, Pastor, when did you do this sermon? I did this sermon about 4 weeks ago before the election was won. I said, whether Hillary wins or Trump wins, I need this sermon. I need to be reminded, I don't care how bad it gets and I don't care how good it gets. It's not time for us to faint. Well, everything's going to be fine now that Trump's president. I'm going to hit that tonight. I think the system is so broke, I think they're going to try to assassinate him. And I don't want that. But I don't have a whole lot of faith in our system right now. I think the establishment is broke. It's been broke for a while. Nothing we can do about it. Tonight's sermon, I think, will help us with that. If you're so discouraged you're ready to quit, then you need to quit living for this world. Get your eyes on the Lord and what He's trying to do. It is not time for us to faint. Salvation is still the greatest need of any man. The second coming of Jesus Christ to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years is still the greatest event in your Bible, and Jesus will still help and strengthen you. God still hears and answers prayer. I'm just saying this morning, it's not time to faint. You say, I'm going to draw a couple conclusions from this. Nothing that took place this week or ever will can affect my salvation. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Look at Luke chapter 10:19. I'd like you to turn there. Luke 10:19. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. I had fainted. I was going to quit if I didn't by faith believe God is working in the goodness of God, to see the goodness of God. Look at Luke 10 verse 19. Ready? Jesus said here to the soul-winning disciples, they come back and he says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." And that's not a verse for handling snakes, praise God. If you read the verse ahead of it, they said, "Even the demons are subject unto us in your name." Serpents and scorpions are spiritual opposition. They're demons and demonic forces. And Jesus said, nothing spiritually can hurt you when you're serving me. And then look at verse 20. Verse 20 ought to be a wonderful, notwithstanding in this, "Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you," watch this, "but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Jesus said, yes, demons are accountable to you, and yeah, you can cast them out in my name. He said, but don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name's written in heaven and that you're saved. There ought to be, Christian, every day, the first thing you ought to thank God, "Thank you, Jesus, for saving me." It ought to be the first thing out of your mouth. Jesus said, "I want you to rejoice in me saving you, in me saving you." I'll just read you this. I'm so glad Jesus told me in His Word, just listen, John 10, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. I give unto them eternal life, and they'll never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one." I'm saved this morning to the uttermost. I'm saved so much I can't stand it. You can't get more saved than I am. You can't get more saved than you are if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. You're saved to the uttermost. And He reached down and into the gutter, and He saved you from the guttermost to the uttermost. Isn't that good? Yeah, from the guttermost to the uttermost. You see, this is not... I need to think about this. I'm never going to hell when I die. And listen, this morning, if you ain't going to hell, you ain't got no problems. Amen. That's a good thought. If you ain't going to hell, you ain't got no problems. You see, this isn't a pep rally. It's an opportunity this morning to hear the Word of God and rejoice in its truth. That song in the songbook, "How Firm a Foundation." Listen closely. "That soul that on Jesus doth lean for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul that though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake." That's a song in the hymn book. How firm a foundation. I said, first of all, nothing this week that took place this week or will ever take place can affect my salvation. Number two, nothing that took place this week or ever that will take place has any effect on the authenticity and the eternal truth of the Word of God. My Bible's still true. I can still build my life on it. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever." Psalm 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." It always has been. I just love this statement. I hold in my hands, if it's a King James Bible, I hold in my hands the only book God ever wrote. I hold in my hands the only book that God ever wrote. Matthew 5:18, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." And this statement, John 10:35, "The Scripture cannot be broken." It cannot. God's Word is still speaking, and you can build your life on it today. As Muslims are getting saved, they're saying the Quran is such a dead book. And when they read the Bible for the first time, they're saying, the Bible is the only book that has ever spoke to me. It's alive. It's living. Amen. Nothing that took place this week or ever will has any effect on the Word of God. And lastly this morning, nothing that took place this week or that ever will take place has any effect on the sovereignty of God. Do you know what sovereignty is? Sovereignty is where God is in control. I know it's a big word, but God is still running the show. When I read Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. And then verse 3, and one cried one to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." This was during the reign of one of the kings. And Isaiah said, until the king died, I didn't see the Lord. I had my eye on politics and who was in control. He said, and when I thought things were bad, when I saw the Lord, I saw the whole earth was still full of His glory. God's in control. God's still on His throne. God's still sovereign. And nothing can change that. Nothing. This morning, it's not time to faint. It's time to read your Bible. It's not time to faint. It's time to pray and walk with the Lord. This morning, I wanted you thinking about Psalm 27. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. It's not time to faint. It's time to pass out more gospel tracts. Amen. It's not time to faint. It's time to go soul winning. It's time to... I said Wednesday night, if Hillary would have been elected, if she would have been, what freedoms would you... Now, maybe you don't know. And if you don't, I'm sorry, and I'm not calling you stupid or nothing like that. I'm just wanting you to think. To me, a lot of freedoms, we were going downhill fast. Now, praise God, I think we'll go downhill a little slower, hopefully. That's my hope. Amen. But if Hillary would have been elected, what freedoms would you have known were gone? She was coming after the guns, she was coming after the Christian schools, and she's coming after the Christians. She already said that. Christians have got to stop believing this book because it's getting in the way. Christian, if she would have been elected, what freedoms would you have seen gone? Okay, she's not elected. Now what are you going to do with the freedoms that you have? The Christian Law Association said if Hillary would have gotten elected, or Bernie Sanders, didn't make any difference. Their program is the same. They're both socialist communists. If they would have been elected, churches, we know it, would be changed 5 years from now. I'm talking running buses. I'm talking going to church as we know it was getting ready to change. Yeah, I'm happy. Praise God. What are you going to do with your freedoms? If we keep playing around with the church thing, why should God preserve it? Well, who cares? You don't go to church anyways. Freedom to read the Bible, print the Bible, give the Bible out. Who cares? You don't read it anyways. Freedom to give out gospel tracts. Glory to God. Glory. Hey, I invite people to church. Who cares? You don't do it anyways. Christian, all I'm telling you is the way I see this week, it's a repose on judgment, and God says, okay, if I gave you the freedom, what would you do for me? Amen. It's not a time to faint. Nor, whew, boy, Trump's elected. Now everything's going to be fine. Everything's not going to be fine. What are you going to do with the freedoms God has postponed for each one of us? I'm very thankful for it, and I couldn't help it as I read Psalm 27. Lord, when I look at this, I would have fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I hope it encourages you this morning. I hope it helps you. But now is not the time to faint. Amen. There is no time to faint. Let's pray. Father, please use the message this morning. Thank you. Thank you for your goodness. And Lord, you're always good. You've been so good to me. Lord, your salvation is so wonderful. Your blood, it washes away our sin. I pray that please, you'd help us as your people to not quit. But Lord, to trust you more, to walk with you more, to love you more, to serve you more. Please, as your people, till you come. I just need to ask the question. You say, preacher, I don't know if I died, if I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to. Is there anybody here like that? You say, preacher, I just don't have the peace of God in my heart that I'm saved.